Hello, all you beautiful people. This is Stefan Satani from A Comedy Advice Podcast, and I am bringing you the treats. It's an awesome episode today because I am going to not talk. I'm just going to eat a jelly donut. Are you guys ready? Just kidding. That's not happening. That I don't know why that stuff is around, but it's not going to be on this podcast. You ain't going to hear none of it here, except for the 10 seconds that I just wasted of your life where you did hear it. So I'm teaching you that that stuff is out there. And if you want to hear it, that's fine. I'm not going to judge, but that's not what this podcast is going to be. I hope there are no, well, maybe there are podcasts out there. I wonder if that's a new genre, ASMR, where it's just people eating. Maybe I should do that for an episode. Maybe I should. I'm converting now. I'm changing my own mind. Should I just have an episode, guys? Email me, acomedyadvicepodcast@gmail.com. Say, we want you eating a jelly donut. And I'll do it. I'll do it. Because I love you guys. You guys are awesome. Well, you know who else is awesome is my guest today, Amir K. He is a hilarious comedian, actor. He's a polyglot. He speaks Farsi and Spanish. So he is such a smart gentleman. He's also a podcaster. He has a new podcast, Salty Locks. So guys, I have an amazing conversation with Amir. Very interesting man. And I hope you guys enjoy. I know you will. I don't even hope. I know you will. And if you don't, just repeat me eating the jelly donut. Now I sound like, I don't eat like a horse. Do I eat like a horse? But guys, I cannot wait for you to hear this episode. If this is your first time, thank you. Welcome. Have a seat. Unless you're already sitting, then stay seated. This is best consumed seated. You shouldn't be standing for this because it's just so interesting and funny. So take a seat. I don't know where you are. If there's no space on the bus, sit in someone's lap. Even better. Thank you so much for joining. Hope you stay along for the ride. And to all you folks that are coming on back, I love you. Yes, I said, maybe I'm the first one that said it. Maybe you haven't said it back, but it's okay. I don't care. I'm just going to tell you, I love you. Thank you. Thank you for supporting me. And if you guys haven't already, please subscribe, leave a review, tell a friend, follow me on social at A Comedy Advice Podcast. It makes all the difference. And speaking of making a difference, if you guys want to take it to the next level with me, if you guys are ready for that level of commitment, head on over to Patreon, the link's in the show notes, and you can become a patron. That's right. You guys get early access to episodes. They're ad-free, so you don't have to hear me talking about Squarespace and Stamps.com. Although, guys, seriously, Stamps.com is awesome. But you don't have to hear it. You don't. You can just hear just pure Stefan audio. That's it. It's not cut with that unpure ad stuff. It's just pure Stefan audio. So you can go over to Patreon, and for as little as $2 a month, you can get access to that content. And then I've got some bonus episodes on there that have not been published here. So you can see that too. Wow. It's awesome. Owen Wilson definitely recommends. So guys, that's all. You guys are in for a treat. So I'm going to let you to it. Ready? I'm just going to eat my jelly donut over here.
A Comedy Advice Podcast.
An advice podcast for Stefan
and friends.
To make exaggerated statements not meant to be taken literally.
What was that, Stefan?
Comedy Advice Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to A Comedy Advice Podcast. My name is Stefan Satani, and I'm your host. Joining me today, very special guest. He's an Iranian-American comedian that starred in the cast of Mad TV, appeared on Comedy Central, NBC's Last Comic Standing, True TV's Comedy Knockout, and more. He's also an actor that starred in The Pyramid and won a SAG Award for his role in Argo with Ben Affleck. He's the host of the podcast Salty Locks, and he has a bachelor's degree in history and political science. Everybody, please welcome Amir K.
Hey, guys. Hey, what's happening?
It is a pleasure to have you on. Thank you for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, bud. It's good to be here.
first, before we get into the meaty parts, I want to get around into the appetizer. What have you been doing in the pandemic, and how have you been staying sane? Or have you? Have you just gone insane or no?
No, I mean, I've been kind of reevaluating my life, dude. And it gets sad at times and it gets happy at other times. But yeah, just reevaluate and like kind of reassessing what's going on and, you know, who I am and, you know what I mean? How I want to moving forward, you know, like what you kind of sometimes when like how life was before, I don't know if you were the same way. I got stuck in a rut of just kind of doing the same routine, you know? So I use this time because I know it's not going to end anytime soon. So you might as well make the best of it. So I'm like, let me do some like little self-evaluation, little looking inside and seeing if I'm happy, if I'm, you know, doing the right things, if I'm on the right track, you know, and like trying to like maybe mend some relationships with my family and stuff that I kind of neglected when I was in the routine.
That's really smart. And then I was listening to your wonderful podcast, Salty Locks, which I think is named after those luscious salty locks that you have. I think you have the coolest hair of any guest I've ever had on.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, and I think if it wasn't for the gray, I'd think you were maybe 25, a little under 25. So
yeah, people always think that, but this I keep it honest right here, you know.
Just for that.
Yeah, you gotta let them know that there might be something wrong. I may be 50. I may be
20. Just age ambiguous. I like it, but I love what you said too, where keeping yourself in check and then just trying to. You may have been in a rut before, evaluating yourself. And I know the podcast is something you started in the pandemic. And on the latest episode, which everybody, if you haven't checked it out yet, please check it out. The link's going to be in the show notes. So listen. But on the last episode, you talked a little bit about your family going to have, I think it was dinner or lunch with your brother and your dad who's in town too. And talking about the different types of things that you grew up being accustomed to, being in competition with your brother and how your dad sometimes is, you want to get to a certain relationship with your dad where you get that silly and a little bit of seriousness where he doesn't, you know, outburst.
So yeah, we're trying to, you know, me and my brother were like, yeah, I had this competition that was bullshit that my dad created, this weird thing. And so like, I've been over it for years, but I don't know if, you know, I'm just trying to check in with my bro and see where he's at, you know, because we don't have that. Like, I kind of envy people's relationships that are super close with their siblings, you know what I mean? Like, I wish I had that type of relationship too, where I can count on him for things. You know what I mean? It's just like, he's my older brother and, you know. And like we could talk to each other about anything. I wish we could have that without there being any sort of like, I don't know, hint tinge of like resentment or anything behind, you know, the real conversation that's going on. You know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying. And I feel like it hit home for me in a lot of ways because I have two brothers and two sisters. So there was a lot of competition and a lot of things going on when we were growing up. I was the oldest too. So I was like the free babysitter for my parents. But it was, I feel like we're all adults now. So we all are trying to refoster relationships. And I lived in New York for a little while. So now I'm back in Phoenix and they're all here. So we haven't seen each other because of the pandemic, but it can be very frustrating at sometimes, but also very rewarding when.
Well, I'm sorry to cut you off. Were you just in New York and you moved to Arizona because of the pandemic or not?
Oh, no. I moved to be closer to family, actually. My wife and I, we were going to, we were thinking about starting a family. So she's from Brazil, I'm from Phoenix, and we thought, well, we want to be close to one or the other. What's going to be easiest for us? And she ultimately, I love Brazil and we got married there. It's an amazing place, but we just didn't feel as secure as we would feel here. And my that's how my wife felt. And I felt, okay, I can agree with that. Cause I speak Portuguese and everything, but I look very much like a gringo.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
There's a little bit of, robbery and
I hear it's it's a beautiful country. I know that. I have never been and I'd always love to visit, but I hear the crime, it's a little sketchy at, you know, in some places, right?
Yeah, and unfortunately it's gotten worse. My mother-in-law, she actually got her car stolen while she was in it.
Oh, wow.
Right out front from her house at 9 a.m. two guys with machine guns were just like, ma'am, could you please, I love how they say please, but ma'am, could you please get out of the car?
Well, yeah, at least they have a little bit of respect, but it's just like, that's when, you know, people have no other option. You know, I don't think those people are doing it because, you know, it's fun.
Right.
They need the money, or they need it more than the person that has whatever they're stealing. You know, it's like sad. It's so sad, that situation. And given what's happening with us, dude, I don't know. You know, I think the crime rate's going to shoot through the roof when people start running out of, you know, this government aid and whatnot. You know, so I think we've been in a good position before, like economically, but I think we're going to head into some serious trouble and probably see that shit rise here too. You know, not just. You know, like you said, in Brazil, so it might not be a safe year, but I think you're good in Arizona. But at least you got out of New York. But I'm talking about New York, dude. New York could be fucking really sketchy.
Yeah.
Heading into this next couple of years.
Yeah, I know. You're absolutely right. And we ended up living, because when we first moved there, we couldn't really afford to live in New York proper. So we ended up living in Elizabeth, New Jersey, which is close to Newark. And it's I think it's the fourth biggest city. So it's a pretty big city. I'd never heard of it. But then you look at the crime map and it looks like it has chicken pox, because it's just like murder, 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 stabbing, murder, murder, murder. So
well, you're back in AZ. I hear AZ is pretty cool though, right? Like right now. I mean, normally AZ is a pretty cool state to be in. I mean, I don't know how the economy is there and everything like that. I don't think it's got a high crime rate, right? Like in Phoenix.
Yeah, it depends on the section. But for the most part, I think Arizona, it's very, I don't want to say crime free, but it's pretty safe. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty clean too, especially certain parts like Scottsdale, Phoenix, North Phoenix. And I mean, one of the things that's pretty interesting to me is just the weather, because it doesn't get too cold here. The roads don't expand and then contract. And so the roads are still in great, pristine condition.
That's hilarious. When you're bragging about the roads, that's about. Like the roads are great, man. The weather, it's 215 degrees at night and you can't really get much sleep. But let me tell you, when you get in your car and you hit those roads, man, it's nothing like it.
It's a fucking dream, bro. You could almost put it on autopilot and you're just cruising.
That's it.
We got to have something to hold on to, man. So I got the roads.
I don't mean to shit on you for the good roads, but
no, it's.
I have friends that moved from New York to Arizona, and I mean, it's just like cost of living's way less. You know, you can get way more bang for your buck. It's not a bad place to be, brother.
Yeah, and those fucking roads, man. I'll tell you what. But you know what? You know what's depressing about it is I don't even drive anymore because I. Well, before I start complaining. I still have a job. I'm working from home, whatever, but I don't get the taste of the road anymore. So that's unfortunate. But anyway, more about you. I wanted to talk about you because I also, one of the things going back to the podcast and going back to, I wouldn't even call it a rant, but as you were talking about your family, things that were happening, I was just in awe because I thought, Jesus, you are so articulate, and I could feel you were expressing a little bit of anger, frustration, sadness at some points, but you were so articulate with it. And I was so impressed to the point where I wanted to ask you, do you feel like being a comedian, which you're, I want to talk about that later, but being a comedian, do you think writing, thinking about things in strange ways, trying to get the humor out of them, do you think it's helped you to just talk?
I think that for sure. But dude, I appreciate the compliment. I'm trying to get better about taking compliments, but thank you for that. Just saying that I'm articulate. But dude, a lot of times I feel like I'm such a dumbass when it comes to taking the time to think about something before I talk, you know? Mm-hmm. So like, I don't know what that is, but I have this thing in my brain. It does take me a while to articulate a point. You know, and I tend to rush into something. Like I'm trying to do my best to slow down and try to explain everything articulately as possible right now, because dude, normally I'll just jump in it without really processing and thinking first. And I think that also makes me maybe a better stand up live in the on the spot and, you know, quick on stage, for example, if you're in the room, that helps me there. But sometimes in conversations, I'll jump too quickly to, you know, answer the question without fully thinking about what I'm going to say. So I think it's good and bad, the way my brain works. But definitely stand up to answer your question and get back to it. Stand up, yeah, for sure helps you talk in situations in front of people, obviously, and then like in conversation as well, you know? Like I think getting your point across, because comedy is about brevity. So like getting your point across in the shortest way possible, I guess, in the most long-winded answer I could have given you.
No, you know what? I thought it was a beautiful answer. I'm going to get you more comfortable with compliments because you addressed the compliment at first, then you went about answering and you gave a 3D, like a 360 on the world of comedy relating to articulateness and the challenges that you have of being articulate that you're trying to address. And so I thought that was a wonderful answer. If I was going to evaluate it, 10 out of 10.
Thank you so much, buddy.
I also wanted
ego boost doing the show.
I have a segment. It's called the compliment shower. I think it's going on right now, but it's where I just pull the lever, turn the compliment nozzle, and I just start showering my guests with compliments. Hopefully they're getting a little bit wet, but
I take my shirt off.
Yeah. While we're at it, though, I was gonna say you have one of the best Instagram.
I thought you were gonna say bodies, dude.
One of the best what?
I thought you were gonna go. You have one of the best bodies I've ever seen. Imagine. I thought before you were going, I go, could I take my shirt off? You go, dude. By the way, you have the best.
not gonna lie to that point. You, I think I saw it on. What was it? True TV's Knockout, where you had to apologize because you got knocked out. And there was a picture where you looked super ripped. And I was like, God damn, is there this fucking guy? He's got great body.
Dude, it must have been years ago. Yeah. Dude,
I'm like,
bro, the gray hair comes with a few LBs, you know, not being able to stay in shape as much as you used to be.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? You look great. The black is slimming it perfectly. So
thank you very much.
I think you're good. But I was going to say that your Instagram, I think it's so good where it's got this perfect blend of you've got snippets from your podcast, which is, I feel like the production value there is amazing, where you've got the great, you've got the studio set up, you've got the video production, which is amazing, and you've got the theme song, you've got clips, you've got everything. And I wanted to ask, because I know this was birthed from the pandemic, but where do you see the podcast going once things get back to normal? If they ever do.
Well, the podcast, like, you know, as you know, was just for me to rant and talk about stuff in lieu of getting on stage every night, you know, so it still didn't make up for it. But I also just wanted to start the podcast for the longest time. And the pandemic just gave me the biggest, like, you know, reason to not make excuses and just start it, because I have, you know, in the very beginning, it was hard to get used to having nothing to do. So I just created that. And then there's a lot of work, you know, editing it. And my buddy JR comes over and helps me shoot it. So he has those really nice cameras that you see that we shoot it on. I think they're some type of Canons. But so that's cool. But then, yeah, it does give me a lot of work to do. And definitely I will continue doing the podcast as it, as, you know, we get back to normal life. But I think that, yeah, I just think that it's just another way to get, you know, anything I want to talk about, also work on material, you know, like a lot of times I work on stage, like I write on stage. So I'll go up with a seed of an idea on stage and I'll start talking it out, and then I'll find little punchlines here and there. And then I start, you know, crafting a bit out of that, you know, so the podcast is just another, I guess, vessel to do that a little bit more, you know, efficiently, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I get that, and I go, oh, I really like talking about this. So then I can, and you know, my podcast is by myself. I have JR behind the camera and he has a microphone so you can hear him. But I just like it for me just to be spitballing and talking, and hopefully it's exciting and interesting, not exciting, but you know, it's funny in some points, or it's interesting for people to hear my thought process.
That's awesome. You know? And do you, it seems like it's this way, but do you tend to lean towards, I know there's a blend of writing and then speaking, and you were talking about on open mics and things like that, or shows, you would kind of test things out. Do you lean more towards the audio and speaking visual or medium, or are you both half and half, or what way do you lean?
I think my favorite sets, if you're talking about my stand-up sets, are when I'm just in the moment and I'm riffing, and you know, it's kind of feels like a stream of consciousness type of set. Those are my favorite, you know, when it's just so live and you're present, and you're in the room and everything's just firing, you know, your brain's working on all cylinders, you're just, and everybody's in on it. And then when you're in the room, it's electric, because like, you know, I always say stand-up is like every time you go into the room, it's like a group of your friends. I mean, it's a group of new friends, right? And so my thing is, I always like go in there. These people are my friends. And, you know, my favorite thing to do with my friends is like have inside jokes, right? So by that hour, by the end of the hour, we have a series of inside jokes that we do. I can call back. You know what I mean? So it's like now we've created this rapport in relationship with the audience that is like, I liken it to like when I was younger and I'd go to a party, you know, and I'd do a joke, you know, I'd get a circle of friends and hold court and do that. And these people know me, so I'm doing my riffs. And so those are my favorite sets when I feel like I'm at a party with my friends. So that's where I like to live, dude, in the moment and just doing the stuff as it comes to me with obviously in my back pocket, you know, a few hours of material that I've honed over the years. So in case I get stuck or if something comes up or somebody mentions something and I have a bit for it, then I could just kind of, you know, seamlessly go into it. So it seems like, oh, that was pretty cool. You know, when you really good comedians, you're like, holy shit, this guy is so fast. But the truth is, you know, I hate to debunk comedy for anybody or ruin the mystery or the magic of it. But like, you know, we have over the years, you've done so many hours of stage time. So you've had situations come up so you can address a situation that happens in a particular audience or room. You know, you have the tools to handle that fairly quickly once you've been doing it for, you know, 10 years or 10 years, whatever it is. You know, you just jump into it really quick. So that's what makes, I think, good comedians great is their ability to just pull from what they already know or what they've already been experienced to and just jump into it real quick and get into that, whether it's dealing with a heckler or, you know, segueing into or audibling. I would call that an audible, like if something's not hitting and then you just, you know, jump into something else, but doing it in a way that they have no idea that you just did that. You know, it sounds like you're talking just like we're talking right now. Just, oh, this guy just made all this stuff up.
Yeah.
Where you can never tell what it is. So if to get back to your question, I like to do probably, I'd say, maybe like 30 to 40% is just kind of riffing in a normal hour. And then the rest would be written material. But when you watch it, you would think it's 80%, 90% riffing. I'd hate for people to see that you're in a bit. You know what I'm saying? Once you go, hey man, you've been in the grunt. And you're like, oh fuck, this guy's saying a bit. He's getting into a bit. And it's like, you learn that at the Comedy Store doing the open mic there. The open mic there goes from like 6 PM to like 2 in the morning, right? So then there's some people in the audience that have been there for 6 hours. So when you get up there and you're only doing 3 minutes, this was like back in the day when I was first starting, I would notice who got the best response. And it was the people that would just seem like they were in the moment and they were just doing, being there. And they're just funny people, but they're being, and they're not just like, all right, so, and then you're getting into a joke. Because after the sixth hour of an audience, when they smell an inkling of a joke, they kind of turn off. Do you know what I mean? They go, oh, here he goes. It's just like they're not even into it. So I found that, and I think it's even accelerated with the hour set, like even better, you know, if they're like, wow, this guy's like really, you know, he's quick and he's seamlessly going into stuff. If I do a little crowd work and this guy mentions whatever, he's a mechanic. And then all of a sudden I go into a mechanic bit. It's like, what? How did you just think of that? But that's just years and years of working on your shit.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, so we deviated a bunch, but
no, that's super interesting, and I'm glad that you did demystify that for everybody that was wondering. It was almost like, I don't know if you ever saw that guy that would reveal all the magician the tricks mask with the black.
Yeah, dude, or the mask. I was just talking to my buddy about that. It's like if people knew, because I think the magic of comedy is watching it the first time, seeing a comedian. Once you see a comedian, this is another thing that I don't like to do is to do the same exact hour, that word for word every time. Cause I like when someone comes to see me, like they can come 10 times. Like when I do my local shows in LA, like it's a lot of the same people coming back to see the show when I'm in LA performing. So I just like to have them see a different show every single time. You know, not that all the material has to be different or whatever, but just like being so loose that I open it up to having a unique show every time. So whatever that was that night is what it was. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense.
Because I think, like, to get back to this thing, is the magic of comedy. It's once you know, it's like when someone does a magic trick and then you realize, oh, you learned how it works. You know, you're like, ah, it's not that cool anymore. So like once you've heard the joke, then you hear it again, you know, that second time around, you're like, oh, okay, I knew how he got there. And then once you start watching the comics work, you're like, oh shit, that kind of takes the magic of it all away. the really good ones are able to continue to do that night after night after night. Like Bill Burr is a great example, dude. I could watch him and I know a lot of the bits. I could watch him night after night and it's like, holy shit. And it's almost like you didn't know, you know, you're watching him for the first time every time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah. No, you're right. And a more unsavory example is, like, I remember in my human sexuality class 10 years ago in college where they were saying pornography, porn has a half-life where if you see it once, it's great. And then you see it a second time and the same exact thing. And you're like, not so magical for me. So I feel like jokes have that same sort of give you that titillating experience. And to your point on the riffing versus the formulated or rehearsed jokes, I think that for me personally, as an audience member, when I see someone's riffing or I have the feeling that they're riffing, I'm on the edge of my seat because I'm thinking, where is this going to go? And there's a little bit of a risk that I feel or the audience feels where it's like he could fall flat or it could go in a direction that nobody knows where it's going to go. So that element of surprise is just amplified. Where I think not to rag on rehearsed jokes or anything, because I think that those are great too in their own form. But to what you said, if you're a comic that's performing multiple nights and you have fans that want to keep seeing you, but then they're like, oh, I'm tired because he says the same jokes and I've heard them all before. The riffing is an excellent tool to be able to keep them coming back time after time. So I think that's just... Right. I admire that. I think it takes balls. It takes experience, like you said, because there's an art to riffing. I don't think it's just like, I'm going to say what I'm going to say. There's also, like you said, you can have some sort of canned response, or from experience, you kind of know different responses will lead you in different areas.
Right. So. And it's also like you were saying, that riffing, and once you get known like that, like, you know, the audience, like, for example, in LA knows that I'm just going to fucking start riffing about whatever. And like, you, I don't know if you mentioned it, but like, I say, if you work without a net a lot of times, because it is a skill that you learn and you have to work on to riff, I feel like, because some guys are just really good at it and some guys just don't do it. I don't know if it's because they're not good at it, but they're maybe scared of it, or they would rather, like you said, not to be, have anything against written material. Like, written material is great, and I see a lot of New York guys are super well written, and that's another way of approaching the art form. But to be loose and free and do anything in the moment takes time, and it takes a bit of honing itself, you know, so you can be comfortable just to say whatever comes on your mind at that moment and know, hey, I'm working without a net and I'm going to stay on the rope, if that makes any sense to you.
Yeah, it does.
Up here, and then fuck, it's going to be funny. Like, something out of this will be funny.
It's very, very true. And it's one of the, I interviewed Adam Ray a while ago, hilarious comedian and a good riffer as well.
Yeah, Adam's great riffer, dude.
And I watched video after video of his at the Laugh Factory and other places, and I could see patterns of what he did. And I'm like, oh, there is a bit of an art to this. There's experience and all of that. And it's not denigrating the value of what he brings to the table. It's just, oh, okay, I can kind of understand the formulas and the different patterns that he's implementing in his crowd work, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. But fuck Adam Ray.
Fuck Adam Ray. No, I said, I watch a lot of stand-up, which, you know, being in a comedy club or being a comedian, you sit there and you watch a lot of stand-up. So you do start to recognize the tricks, and that you, I like to try to stay away from. But you catch yourself, you do them every now and then, you know, like a trick that you know is going to get the room back or get a laugh. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of like a hacky whatever. You don't want to be that guy. You know, you don't want to just like, I hate catching myself going, why the fuck did I say that? And it happens, you know, you know, somebody will get up to go to the bathroom and you go, taking a shit? Because you know it's going to get a good laugh. It gets dumb, but you're like stuck.
I fell for it, yeah.
Yeah, you know what's happening. And it's just like, if you watch a lot of comedy, you go, oh, that's just a road trick, you know? So that, I think for me is like, yeah, I would like to stay away from things like that. But that's where you're talking about, like the little tricks and whatever things that...
One of my favorite things that I saw you do for a riff was, I think it was the improv where the lighting made some guy look like he was in a coffin, and you were like, I got to take a picture of this. And then you went on for two or 3 minutes about death, and then about a guy explaining to his son why his mom is dead to him. And It was just
those
so
are the moments, dude. That's what I live for in stand up, man. Those moments right there. And that, dude, I have so many I'm going to start releasing. Like, I was too precious with my material for fucking way too long. Because I was like, oh, I want to put it on a special. I want people to see it, you know, in a polished form. Dude, and I have just so much shit like that. Like, those sets where I'm just, dude, going off. And I'll never do it again. Like, that moment will never happen again.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? With the one that you're referring to. It's like, and it was just such a beautiful and like pure moment of like, oh, that's what it is. And then I can like, you know, maybe a year in comedy, I wouldn't be able to let myself go and just start riffing off of that, you know, talk and then get to that death of his mom. And, you know, the grandpa explaining to the, you know what I'm saying? Like, you saw what happened there. So those are the moments I freaking live for, dude. And that's what makes me still thrilled to go up every single night on stage when, you know, before the pandemic was hit us.
Yeah.
Right? That was the moment. That's the drug I was chasing, is those moments, you know?
I've been doing comedy for a little bit, and I am not near the point of being comfortable with riffing. And so my stuff sounds very rehearsed. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to get to the point where I'm feeling more comfortable being able to play a little bit with the crowd, riff a little bit. And then the dream is to be like you, man. And just,
oh, come on, man. Dude, you just got to keep doing it. I tell everybody, because I get, you know, periodically I'll get, you know, DMs about, you know, how do you have any advice? And, you know what I mean? From aspiring comedians.
Yeah.
And it's always the same advice. And it's the advice I got from the best comics. And it was just get up on stage, because there's no substitute for the experience. It's like, dude, it's, there's nothing that will sub. You can read a billion books, but until your fucking sneakers have hit that stage and you're in the moment on that stage, you're not going to know what any of the shit means or, you know, is like. So it's all just stage time, stage time, stage time, stage time, stage time. And it's like, it seems like a little easy, because there is no guidebook to this shit. You know, that when you start comedy, I want to be a comedian. They don't give you a book and say, hey, dude, do chapters 1 through 5 and you'll be good. It's like, dude, go. So now what? And the now what is stage time, stage time, stage time, stage time, stage time, stage time. No shortcuts.
Yeah. There's no. You know what's funny too is the way that you were taught, going back to your how articulate you are, as you were talking about how East Coast comics, they're very good on the written, but the riffing, no, and then diving into the riffing.
Well, no, some of them are good on riffing. I don't want to say that, because I hate, like, I don't
No, no,
like
fuck them. No, 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 they're all, no, I'm kidding.
No, I don't like the beef, like, shit, but it's like, that's what, and I've noticed that it's because I would think that the stages are smaller there, so they, you know, they don't have moved to, like, move around and be more theatrical, and LA, it's a bunch of actors, you know, that maybe do stand up as well. And I don't know. There's, I have my theory on it, but I don't want to shit on New York comics. I think New York comics are fucking great.
While we're backtracking, I also want to apologize to Adam Ray. I love you very much. He's one of my favorite comedians. Okay. I was just saying, fuck Adam Ray as in Let's Talk About Amir K right now, because this is his episode.
But... Oh no, dude, I'm going to tell him you said fuck him. So.
Oh no, please.
Sorry, pal.
No, I love that. He was so nice to me. Oh God. Well, that's ruined. So whatever, it's done. Anyway, I also wanted to talk about, so I know that we talked about the riffing, and then in your comedy, you also are just amazing at doing characters as well. And I think that is portrayed as why you've been and gotten some great acting gigs, why Ben Affleck loved you when you auditioned for Argo. I wanted to ask a little bit about that, because you're also a polyglot. You speak Farsi and Spanish.
I was gonna have to get a dictionary for that word. I don't know. What's a polyglot?
Oh. So I only know this word because people have called me a polyglot, and I was like, that sounds like this expired Plato. But it's when you speak more than two languages. I think when you speak multiple languages. It was me just trying to impress you. I'm so sorry.
Oh, dude, you impressed the shit out of me. I was like, polyglot. I had to figure it out. But I didn't know. And I wasn't going to pretend. I'm over that part of my life. I used to pretend all the time that I knew what people were talking about. I'd be like, dude, this movie. And I hadn't seen the movie, but I'd go, yeah. And I just, now I can't. I just got to say, like, hey, dude, I don't know.
I'm so glad you did, because we made a funny bit about it. And I'm trying to do the same thing in my life, where I used to be the same exact way. I'm getting better. I'm still not perfect, but I will stop and be like, I don't know that word, or I don't know what that means.
Yeah. So. I think it just comes with getting older. You realize, like, it doesn't fucking matter if you don't know something, it's fine. You know, it's like, we think it's so, like, oh my God, they're going to think I'm dumb.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. Exactly. But anyway, I wanted,
exactly, what is this exactly is the word?
Wait, what?
What does that mean exactly means?
Exact, like precisely?
Oh, okay, got it.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is my dumbass accent where I can't even say exactly. So I say it more like exactly. People have made fun of
me. this should be on the cut of when bits go bad. I was just pretending I didn't know what the word exactly meant. And then you took it into another thing, which it just was, it all didn't work.
I thought it was great. It was amazing. Yeah. It was great. But
that was a live bomb. I actually got hot as I was doing it. Like, that's when you know you're really bombing, is when you get hot inside. You're like, oh, he's not getting it.
I started to feel a little bit of pressure because I thought you were like, well, what does exactly mean in the sense of what are you saying? And I was like,
that was a bad word. I'll tell you what, if you're listening to this, the reason that bit did not work is because everybody knows exactly. I should have picked another word that was not as used as frequently as exactly.
Oh, man.
Polyglot. Let's go back to that.
Tips from the pros right here, ladies and gentlemen, here.
Sometimes you're like, fuck, those are the ones when you're like, I should have said this. You know, you'll leave the stage and go, this would have been perfect. When you think of the best comeback, like when you're walking away from the, you know, the playground or whatever.
Oh, my God.
I should have said this.
God, I have one of those reeling in the back of my mind, but I'm not going to bore you with it. But I wanted to ask you about the being a polyglot. And speaking Farsi was your first language, and you moved here. And I don't know how you learned Spanish. How did you learn Spanish?
Well, I learned Spanish in school. I took it actually in school, but I learned it also like amongst friends. Like the slang I learned in restaurants and with friends, you know. But like the grammatical stuff and the technical stuff I learned in school.
I took it
for 5 years or something like that. But it was easier, like when you work with, I work with a lot of Latinos, Mexican friends. I had a ton of Mexican friends. So it was easier that way. Just like, you know, speaking with them after I learned something. Or if you wanted to have somebody not understand us, you could speak in Spanish.
I was going to ask is because I lived in Italy and I was learning Italian. And I remember, I think I heard you on a podcast or an interview somewhere talking about how you would imitate kids when you went to school and you didn't understand what anyone was saying. So then you would try and imitate them. And I feel like from an outside perspective, that's helped you a lot with getting good at accents. I know that you also do a really good Iranian accent. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. So exactly what you said, I actually found, kind of actually doing comedy, I'm like, oh my God, this is why I'm good at this, is because I learn English by mimicking the kids in my neighborhood. So now I can do all these characters, because those characters you hear now and all the nuances and subtleties of what I'm saying, or how, you know, the way they would say a word or not finish a word or whatever, that comes from just mimicking and hearing that and just locking that in, you know. So I have all this like deep pool of that shit to pull from, because I had such a diverse like upbringing, you know, different cultures, different ethnicities around me all the time, that I could pull from these different, you know, races and ethnicities and just be like, oh, okay, this is what this sounds like. You know, this is a guy that just moved here. This is a guy that's been here for 6 years. This is a guy that's been here for 10 years. You know what I mean? It's like just the different little nuances and what that accent would sound like.
That's really cool.
It helped me speak English. It helped me learn English. So now that I use that to, you know, do other accents or whatever.
That's super cool. And I feel like your voice just normally is an accent. It's a very neutral accent, and an accent that I feel like would be textbook. This is how an English man sounds. So it's mellifluous. It's got a...
Dude, in school, like, they would be like, what is your real voice? Because I would talk such different ways all the time, you know? And this voice, I almost hate my own voice, like, the way that it is right now. Like, my ex-girlfriend just called me, who I just didn't answer the call. And we have a voice that we do because I can't stand, like, it's like a little kid voice or something that we do together. That is, I don't know why, but I just enjoy doing that more than talking like this. You know, even when I'm on stage, I do a different version of how I'm talking to you right now. you know, which is weird to me, but it's like I enjoy doing it. Like I'll switch up words and stuff.
No, I get it. I get it because I have been doing the same thing a little bit with mine. I think I get a little too radio-y here. My normal voice is like
Yeah, exactly. I could tell like when you're doing, I don't know how your normal voice is because you don't talk that often or ever. I could tell, but you're getting into the show, which is like that's there's a reason that radio voice works because it's intriguing or what is the word I'm looking for?
Yeah, captivating.
Amazing, captivating, all those words. But it gets you like excited about what's being covered, what's being talked about, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Is there that, hey guys, we're back and here we are, like, you know, that fucking, that makes you be like, oh shit, I gotta listen, you know? And I think that makes people interesting, and I think that makes when they have a different inflection or something than you're used to.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you. I feel like I don't know about my English voice. I'm very proud of my Italian voice. I since I lived over there, I have relatives that are from the north. So I would watch movies and I would just practice imitating the accents from people that I admired. So then I ended up getting a southern accent from Italy. And then my northern cousins would get pissed and be like, no. And then they'd try and retrain me in the north. So then I can do quite a few different accents throughout Italy, cool. Which is very useless when I'm speaking English most of the time. But it reminded me of you because being able to do that, I feel like, is a real nice gift.
I mean, it's just like a New York or somebody from Texas or like, you know, I'd imagine. In Italy, I've been to Italy and like they speak totally different in Sicily than they do, you know, up north in whatever, Florence or something.
It's because you've got an excellent ear. That's why. You're right. You're absolutely right. Like in New Jersey, and I lived there in the East Coast, you would hear stuff like, oh yeah, you want some mozzarella, some gabagool. We don't, in the north of Italy, we do not say that stuff. Even in the south, they do have that accent where it's like, ciao amore, come stai, andiamo a mangiare. It's kind of lazy-ish, where north of Italy, it's less poetic, less droopy, more like, ciao, andiamo a questa cosa, facciamo adesso.
And, yeah, it's like proletari.
Yeah, exactly.
We don't talk fast.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but it's that. Yeah, and then they're way looser in the south.
Yeah.
Kind of loose and flowy, eh?
Yeah. And it's that kind of cool where you were talking about intonations, the intonation's different, the focus on the consonants is different. So it's kind of cool to speak with somebody else that understands that, and I feel like you have a really good grasp on it. You're way better than I am at accents and different things like that, so props.
Well, thanks, man.
Props. Yeah. Hello, you gorgeous goobers. Stefan here. Wanted to take a break to talk to you a little bit about the Expanse real estate team here in Phoenix, Arizona. Guys, if you're looking to buy a house in Phoenix or the surrounding areas, there is no better team. Not even the Avengers, Iron Man and Captain America could not do you as good as the Expanse Real Estate Team in Phoenix, Arizona. Guys, they will provide you a free initial consultation to set your expectations and inform you exactly what to expect when purchasing a home in Phoenix. Now, they don't limit the amount of homes that they show you like other brokerages. They are there to get you a home. They're making sure that your domicile is their top priority and they will find you something for the best price. So guys, head on over to expanserealestate.com or call 480-400-1745. And you know what? It also works if you're trying to sell. Are you in Phoenix and trying to sell your home? Give them a call, 480-400-1745 or expanserealestate.com and they will help you out. We're going to get into the self-help portion of the podcast, but before we do, is there anything else that you wanted to say? I mean, we can...
Not really, man. Not really, no.
Now you're good? Well, let me just pause and reflect and say this has been awesome so far. Cool, I feel like we're pals, you and me. We're just...
Stefan, you're a good bud.
Aw, thanks, Amir. Thank you. All right, we're going to get into the self-help portion of the podcast and answer some questions. Before we do, I like to read a motivational quote to give us some inspiration to be able to answer these questions to our fullest ability. But before I give the inspirational quote that I found. I like to ask my guests if they have any inspirational quotes that get them through their days or motivate them when they're down.
I don't. The short answer. No, I don't. I was going to make one up, but I'm like, why lie to my good pal?
Oh, that's sweet. You know what? I don't bring quotes to the table, but I thought of one that my cousin told me a while ago from Italy. He said, this is a quote from Homer, and it says, when you learn another language, you gain another soul. Wow. And not Homer the Simpson, the
yeah.
Greek.
Oh, yeah,
no. Yeah. He was more like, no. But
yeah, it's prolific.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought that's cool. So you have like three souls, man.
That's what's up. Yeah, I mean, that's a good one. I've heard like good ones. My memory is just the worst it could be. And I've heard ones that I'm like, oh, I got to remember that. You know, I just can't. I can't retain very well. Like if you gave me 10 minutes, bro, I'll come back with a fire one. And I'll be like, hey, dude, this is a good one. Check this out. But off the top of my head, there isn't like one that I'm like in a tough situation. And I go, oh, remember.
You know what? Well, throughout the rest of the podcast, if you think of one, spit it out. But
now I'm just going to be thinking about that the whole time. I'm not going to be actively listening to you whatsoever.
Fair enough. I shouldn't have said that. Forget about it. We're done. You right. Failed.
I got a good one that I heard that I liked that was very recent. And it was like, it was a Rumi. Who's like an old poet, you know, theologist, I guess, philosophical dude. You know, Rumi, you've heard of him.
I'm going to act on what I said and say, no, I haven't heard of him before, and I'm sorry.
Oh, cool. He's very, like, just a dope, and he's a Middle Eastern, like, Iranian or Afghan. I'm not positive, but we claim him. Iranians nice. Will claim him. So Rumi said, it's like when you're just stressed out about anything or thinking too much about stuff. And I'm going to fuck the quote up again, but it's something like, this world is a dream. Only a sleeper thinks it's real. Then death comes like dawn and you wake up laughing at what you thought was your grief. Did I say that right? Does that make sense? But it's just so deep. It's like, dude, this is all bullshit. It's all a dream. You know, so only like a sleeper will think that this is real.
I got goosebumps, man.
That's a dope quote, dude. It's such a dope quote. I read that on a friend of mine's like story, you know, like, and it was, you know, most of the time you're like, oh, this is a cheesy quote. But that one was like, damn, like, what am I worrying about? What am I stressing about? Like, it's all bullshit. You're going to just end up laughing at what you thought was your grief here. It's like, dude, it's all temporary. You know, so that's one that I'll think about from time to time to get back.
That slaps, man. That really slaps.
Tattoos coming, dude. Tattoos coming.
Yeah. All right. Well, I feel a little ashamed now to bring my quote to the table, but it's not by a person at all. It's actually by a robot, and it's called InspiroBot. And what it does is it uses AI to generate some of the most inspirational quotes using the wisest words known to man.
Mm-hmm. Wait, was this the one that it's like they're all fake things, but they sound really prolific and dope?
They try to, yes.
Okay.
Yes. So we're going to try and decipher this one. This one, this week, InspiroBot says, much treasured is a husband who respects his cheese.
Oh, yeah.
much treasured is a husband who respects his cheese. So I feel like maybe what InspiroBot was trying to get at was...
Money over bitches.
Right. He couldn't say that in those words, but he was like, I'm going to be eloquent about it.
Yeah.
Money
over bitches. That's what he was trying to say.
I really like
the cheese, you know?
I like that. I was thinking of it as like a flatulence thing. Like the guy, a husband, he respects, if he's like, man, I think I may have had too much cheese. Or just the right amount. I'm not going to get gassy tonight. So then the whole family doesn't have to worry about it. So he has optimal bowel health and colon health, and he's not flatulating.
Very nice. I'm going to go with money over bitches, man.
Yeah, man. I know. I went for a hack fart joke. See, this is mistake number one. This is why it doesn't work. Yeah.
Not a lot, man. How are you going to know unless you try it? Got to try it.
Another good quote. Is that an Amir quote?
I don't know. Let's try. Yeah, I guess so. Dude, the Rumi one is so funny. I butchered it so bad. I heard it, and then I tried to do it on stage that night, and I fucked it up so bad. I'm actually going to put something out. I'm going to put a little, like, little raw special from some show in Calgary, and that's in there. So that's why I was just looking at that thing. That's why I had it.
Oh, nice. Nice. Well, good.
So you'll see it on there, and then you can be like, dude, that's what you were talking about.
I'm going to heart that shit. Yes. That's awesome.
But I picture it as I'm saying it on stage, but we get there.
We'll get there. Nice. All right. Well, I feel like we nailed the quote. We're full of inspiration, so we're going to get to the questions. This one is from Reddit. It's from our fan Bianca. Thank you, Bianca. It says, my girlfriend's birthday is 1 week away, and I really want to paint something for her since I am currently struggling with money. Only thing is, I've never painted before. Is there a good step-by-step I can follow to paint something? Sincerely, stroke of bad luck.
Wow. Yikes. Yeah, that's admirable that you want to do that. I think the easiest way with no money and nothing to do, I think, is self-portrait in your own blood. Just prick your, you know, index finger.
That's so much blood.
Your best way. You got no money, you got no lessons, you don't know what you're doing, just do it like that. Prick your finger and do a little self-portrait.
Blood is nature's paint.
Yeah, blood is nature's paint. That's another good quote that you should get tattooed on your left leg. Dude, blood is the cheapest art supply. I think that's the way to go. Do it in blood. It's a little crazy. Then, I mean, your boyfriend would be scared to leave you. That's another thing.
That's true. It's a big power move. If you ever leave me, this will be your blood in a new painting.
Exactly. So. Yeah, exactly. And you go, I bled for you. And you got to look at him and go, I bled for you.
I bled for you.
Bled for you. Yeah, you can never lose. Once you have that upper hand, dude, if you fucking paint it in blood, dude, you're good to go.
God, that's true. I feel like blood is the best. I mean, there are other bodily excretions that I think we could go with, but I feel like blood is the most sanitary, most powerful, most potent. And who doesn't love a good red? I feel like...
Yeah, good, nice, deep red, like a blood red.
Like a blood red. Yeah, that nice maroon. I feel like it's popping. So it's in vogue. Good.
That's it. Right. I think we nailed that one, huh?
That one was nailed really quickly. Good job on that one. Okay. Now we've got our next and last question. This is from Reddit, found by our fan Joe. Thank you, Joe. Advice on outfitting my bathroom for someone for the day before their colonoscopy. So far, I have created a table on the bathtub where I can put things to do while on the john. This is for my aunt, so I have a facial setup, a manicure setup, and some books. Any other ideas? Sincerely, bottom feeder.
Oof.
God, have you ever prepared anyone for a colonoscopy? I feel like this is a little weird.
Yeah, it's a little out of my scope of expertise, but I will tell you this. I don't know what happens to you after. Do you like shit a lot after a colonoscopy? Is that what's being?
I don't know. Here? I think what happens, and this is from what I saw on that Adam Sandler movie, Uncut Gems, was you just probe inside, they look around, and if they don't find anything, they pull the probe out and you're done. You can walk right and you're fine.
So, yeah. So what is this whole situation of setting up the bathroom so intricately for this thing?
I don't know. The
question confuses the shit out of me, but no pun intended. But
especially for your aunt, right? Maybe if it was for your significant other, you could do a nice thing for them, help relax them. I mean, it helps the colonoscopy go smoother, but I think for an aunt, I don't know if I would do that. I don't know my aunts on that level.
Yeah, I don't. This is very, very strange to me. So yeah, I guess I don't have any advice here. I mean, I will tell you that I do have a bidet. That's the closest I've gotten to a colonoscopy.
Kind of oh.
Shoot water in your ass and
thumbs up, thumbs down.
Thumbs up, 100%. Any Iranian will tell you that, you know, or big time hygiene there.
Yeah, yeah. Living in Italy, I got the bidet treatment.
Oh, dude, the bidet. I mean, the Europe's got it figured out for sure. They know what's up. I don't know why I didn't carry over here. I really don't understand that. You know, dry-ass toilet paper, you just can't do that. That's gross.
Yeah, it's like close to being animals over here. I mean, toilet paper and Jesus. But no, I think going back to it, the advice that we can give is don't do any of this. I know you're a thoughtful person, but you're going too far. Please, for the love of God, use this for yourself.
It seems weird. It would be weird if you brought it up to your aunt. Like, hey, I set it all up for you. Like, what?
That's why when you go to Hallmark and you ask for a card that says good luck with your colonoscopy, they don't have one because that's an occasion that should not be talked about.
Very nice. Very nice, Stefan.
Thank you. Oh, I appreciate that. Is that how you laugh? Do you just say very nice?
Very nice. Very nice. Well, I just wanted to let you know that that was a great answer.
I was
stuck.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Well, I feel like we've given the answer, so I feel like we can get out of there and reach the end. I'm trying to reach for a colonoscopy joke here, but this is the end. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I wanted to give a huge thank you to Amir. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me, buddy. I'll see you in Arizona next weekend.
Bro, I am pumped. And speaking of Arizona this weekend, what have you got going on? Where can people follow you? What have you got to plug?
Well, I'm at the House of Comedy, which is probably my favorite club in Arizona. And that's, Rick Bronson's House of Comedy in North Phoenix. Is it High Street? I don't know what the...
Yes, High Street. Very good.
Yeah, and I love that place, and I'm just so excited to get back. It's going to be my first shows in 5 months or whatever it's been, so I'm just juiced to get back on stage, man. So it's going to be a hell of a good time. I know that because I'm just going to be going off. And
is that your first time on stage since the Rona?
No Zoom shows, no nothing, dude. I just kept it clean and kosher, bro. And I'm ready to rock. I'm ready to go and get loose. So these shows are going to be good. And I'm going to tape them. And I think it'd be a thing to see live for sure. So that's it. This weekend coming up, I don't know the exact day. I think it's the 27th through the 30th, actually. August 27th through the 30th.
That's right. And we'll have a link right there in the show notes, guys. So you don't have to be like, oh, Google House of Comedy. No, it's right there. You just buy the fucking tickets. Just do it. What are you... So I'm sorry. I'm getting frustrated. Love you guys. Thank you for listening. But Amir, thank you so much. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll talk at you next week. Bye-bye.